more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Dickens fans might have great expectations from a new semi-biographical movie about the 19th century English writer that's reaching movie screens. But the subject matter might surprise people who don't know much about Dickens' life. The Invisible Woman tells the story of Dickens' relationship with his mistress, which might contrast with a celebrated image of the writer. It's directed by and stars Ralph Fiennes, and it's one of the subjects film critic Dave Lurson takes on with our Dan Harmon. Lurson starts with a look at Fiennes' directorial skills.
Ralph Fiennes trained as a Shakespearean actor, and as a filmmaker, he turns as if by instinct to literary themes. With The Invisible Woman, Fiennes plays a director and star in a running theme from the life of Charles Dickens, his long affair with the much younger Nellie.
Was this the first time Fiennes has been director and actor and or star?
He directed an obscure Shakespeare play for what turned out to be an obscure film release a few years ago. So, yes, he definitely has his feet planted in that area.
Will this movie be any less obscure?
Well, I think it has more of a potential. I mean, you know, Shakespeare, of course, is well known, but so is Dickens, and there have been so many Dickens adaptations in recent years that have gotten an audience, film and TV-wise, and it's an interesting story. Somebody, her name was Claire Tomalins, did a biographical sleuthing a few years ago, looking into the private life of Charles Dickens, and this film is based upon what she found, that there was really this long-running affair between Dickens and a much younger woman who, you know, was very enamored of him. She wanted to be an actress, and Dickens. People forget that Dickens was also a playwright and had a lot to do with the world of theater at that time. So it was, you know, this magnetic attraction on both their parts. And there was some scandal here. And yes, she was the invisible woman in a sense because, you know, you just couldn't go public with this kind of thing in those days.
Well, I think this would really appeal to people who, I don't know how else to phrase it, have period piece fatigue, if you will, or just all these stories about Victorian.
Better one, though, than many of these masterpiece theater type of things, as I call them. There's a lot of that out there, and I think here you have an interesting story. You have a superb cast. I mean, many of the supporting cast members in this thing are faces that people who like masterpiece theater stuff have seen, you know, over and over again. You might not have a name to attach to them, but they're in everything like this. So it's a great cast. And Fiennes, of course, you know, is just an excellent, versatile actor. I think one of the things that might be interesting to a lot of people about this, I mean, we think of Dickens from Christmas Carol and The Artful Dodger and all of these kinds of stories and characters that he created. But he was also a kind of rock star of his era. He toured the world. He toured the United States. Huge crowds would come out jostling each other to get a good seat. You know, he would be mobbed for autographs wherever he went. He was a dynamic performer. He wasn't just, you know, doing the bookstore tour and he picks out his manuscript and begins reading it, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was just this magnetic personality on stage by all accounts. And this movie captures that aspect of him.
Yeah, and Fiennes, I keep forgetting that it was him. I had to remind myself. Every now and then I could see that it was him as actor, but it's not the character. You don't even identify.
Well, if you think about all of the movies he's been in, he has done quite a few different kinds of roles, although there is kind of a Ralph Fiennes sort of character. I mean, he plays a certain type in a number of movies, a kind of slightly shy, withdrawn, you know, mild-mannered character. But he's also Lord Voldemort. He's also, you know, M in one of the recent James Bond movies. I mean, he does villains very well. He can certainly step beyond his normal persona into something entirely different, which I think he did that here with this film.
Do you know where his interest in Dickens came from? Is this just because there was a book written about Dickens and he thought it was interesting, or does he have some further interest in it?
I can't answer that. I don't know. But given his background, I'm sure that he is greatly interested in British literature, and Dickens is just a towering figure with this interesting personal life that lends itself to a movie.
All right, and the second movie that we're going to talk about is called The Past, a completely different from what we just talked about. It's an Iranian film, but it's all set in France.
Well, there have been a number of those have been made in recent years. I mean, France has a very culturally active Iranian diaspora. Post Khomeini Revolution of the late 1970s, quite a few Iranians have came to the U.S., many came to France. And the French Iranians seem to have a foothold in film. I mean, there are a number of movies, including animated films by French Iranian directors. So here's another example of that. This movie deals with one of these transnational border crossing situations in the personal lives of people living in what I believe is a kind of a grim working-class suburb of Paris, from the looks of it.
It's not a particularly Iranian film. There's nothing really about these characters that, to me anyway, said that they were Iranian. It was more, I viewed it as another French relationship film, which I think the French do really well.
Right. Well, I guess the protagonist, the male character in the movie, Ahmad, has some fellow Iranian exile friends. I mean, the cafe keeper is Iranian. So, I mean, there's a sense of that in there, but it's not you're correct. It's not the main point of the film. We know that Ahmad has gone back and forth between Iran and France. We don't know anything based on the film about his life in his home country. There isn't really, I think there's a glancing reference possibly to politics in Iran, but it's really blink and you miss it. So it doesn't really go in that direction. So what kind of a movie is this? Is it a French movie? Is it an Iranian movie? Is it something else? We're seeing a lot of films like this in recent years where you can't plant one national flag on it and say this is, you know, an Australian movie or an Irish movie. There are a lot of movies that just are very hybrid. Part of it is because, you know, you have multiple sources of funding sometimes with money coming from a variety of places and countries and an assembly of talent from different parts of the world. But you also have this phenomenon of immigration going on, taking place in ways that were not as common earlier. And you're having a blending in filmmaking as a result of that.
And I suppose I viewed it that way, is that it's more of a film about the immigrant experience, and you could trade out the Iranian in France for North Africans or any number of immigrants.
Mexico and the United States, maybe.
Sure. You could, but this is more, to me, it was more about the mundanity, if you will, of immigration, because they're dealing with relationship issues and daughter issues and it's more of that kind of, it's more complicated.
If you want to hang some kind of a pops sociology term on this.
Sure, why not?
It's a postmodern family relationship movie because of the complexity of Marie, the French woman at the center of this movie. There are three underage children living in her household. Each one, well, one of them she's not the mother of. The youngest boy there is the son of her current boyfriend.
Who's still married.
Yeah, but there are two girls, one teenager, eight or nine, who came from previous relationships of hers, including her about-to-be-divorced husband. So this is quite, they don't have Thanksgiving dinners in France or in Iran, but if you would have that there, this would be an interesting get-together.
And didn't seem like you were too keen on this movie, but it's certainly a unique movie that you really can't see.
Yeah, I don't dislike this movie at all. I don't want to be misunderstood about that. It's not a happy movie, really. It takes you into a lot of depressing situations. And is that a bad thing? No, not at all. I mean, I think it was well acted. Well developed. There's almost a kind of a mystery angle to it because the story sort of gradually unfolds. I mean, we don't understand anything about the major characters in this film at the beginning, and we learn little by little about their lives, and there are some disputes or possible contradictory stories going on. We have to get to the bottom of it. So, no, it's intriguing. It holds interest. And I think it has a lot to say about the world we live in now, not just the relations between France and Iran.
And the other thing I actually liked about it was that we see so many films that are just, Paris is wonderful, it's so glamorous, and this is not that part of Paris.
Yeah, so I recently saw a movie that's going to be at the French Film Festival of Films in France, in which Catherine Deneuve actually breaks out in song on the streets of... Yeah, well, this is what we think of as a stereotypical movie set in Paris. I mean, something of that sort. And this shows you... and this isn't the only movie that has done that, but there are a number of movies coming out of France in recent years that show you the other side, which is usually, the suburban Paris is grittier and more working class. The center of the city is where you have the beautiful cafes and the expensive shops and the museums. And the tourists, most tourists do not venture into these kinds of neighborhoods, the places where the past is set.
All right. Not that I didn't like Amélie, but this is just the more real movie.
Yeah, well, Amélie was not intended to be realism, but you could argue that realism isn't what's cracked up to be either.
That's
right?
True. All right. Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express weekly newspaper and author of its I Hate Hollywood blog. He's also our regular film contributor, and he spoke with Dan Harmon about the movies The Invisible Woman and The Past.